Good morning. It's good to see you on this crisp, wonderful Michigan morning. I think this is the most deceiving time to live in Michigan. One day it's 70 degrees and you set out clothes for the next day to wear and you find out it's not enough clothes the next day. You feel good one day, but then the weather changes so much that you don't feel good the next day. And then because of that, then you don't feel good the next day. Anyway, it's just deceiving. I think anyway. I would share with you my thought on having to be bipolar again to live in Michigan, but I won't do that, okay? Today, we're going to start a new series, and basically that's because I'm one of those lazy preachers who preach series. Not really. You're supposed to say, oh, no, Wes. Okay, thank you. Oh, my heart. Yeah. How do you do that? Yeah, all right. But anyway, we're going to start into a series that's entitled Shutting Doors, okay? And the first installment is entitled The Enemy's Endgame, okay? And hopefully, what I think I'd like to accomplish in this series is that we would learn why the enemy does what he does, amen? What is his endgame? And where he finds those open doors in our lives that he steps through all the time to gain access to our life. And you know, maybe I should stop saying this, but I don't like to speak about the devil, but the Bible is really clear. We shouldn't be what? We should understand his devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of what he does. And so that's the idea. But the idea is never to bring glory to the devil, amen, is to bring glory to God, because for everything that the devil shoots at you, the Lord has something better and bigger and more powerful for you. Amen? Amen. We'll be answering questions like, how can we effectively block him from entering and controlling our lives? Because that happens occasionally. Like those times when you talk and stuff comes out of your mouth and you're just watching it come out and you can't stop it and you know you shouldn't say it, but you say it anyway. Has that never happened to you? You just watch it come out, you know? And what it is, okay, what it really is that opens the doors that allow him to enter into our lives and wreak havoc in our lives. How many of you think, or how many of you know, I should say, that your life would be more enjoyable and maybe more productive if the enemy would leave you alone? Good. Because I happen to believe that. So please stand with me if you would, and we will make our Bible declaration, and we will do it together. You ever have one of those days where you're just like a half a step off? I can't tell if I'm behind or ahead, but I'm a half a step off, you know? Okay, all right. Take your Bible and hold it up towards heaven. And repeat this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. I'd like to get started right away this morning, so Gary, could you come up and pray for the message?
Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this new series, God, I thank you that it's an opportunity for you to change our lives through your word. Father, I'm sure, God, absolutely sure that each one of us can gain something through this series. Father, I pray that you would have your way in each one of us, Lord, that again, we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Father, we thank you for putting this message in Pastor West, God, and I thank you you're going to deliver it through him. God, just have your way in each one of us, Lord. We open ourselves up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. I'm reminded about one pastor one time said this. He said, I don't know what's the matter with these young preachers. You can probably figure out who that would be. It was a long time ago, so it wasn't me. Okay. I don't know what's the matter with these young preachers. They can't seem to figure out what to preach. And for me, you know, it's not him. For me, it's not what to preach, but it's which one. But I thought that was really good. Until I had to come up with something different every year, every week for 25 years. Sometimes it's not, no, I can't even say that. I even said to myself, you know, the day that I stop receiving messages from God is the day I'll retire. Well, sometimes God waits till the last minute. I don't know if he's trying to tempt me with tiring or retiring, but then again, he doesn't tempt people with evil, though, and I don't think retiring is evil. But anyway, I'm not retiring any day soon, okay? Okay. The first and foremost step for anyone to take if they want to block the devil's access into their lives is really simple, is to become a child of God. Amen? Come on, people, to become a child of God. You have to get saved, okay? And then you have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. How many of you know that those are two different things? I mean, we can make him Savior, but, you know, it's different when we make him Lord, when we say yes to what he says, when we say yes to what his word says. And it's necessary that we do that. It's kind of a process, but we need to do that. But even when you get saved, okay, even when you call him Lord and make him Lord, the enemy is still, say he's still, he still comes knocking, okay? He still comes knocking. We have to maintain a certain criteria when we get saved. We don't just get saved and then not allow change in our life, right? There's got to be some criteria when we get saved. Or we will invite the enemy back in the doors that we once closed, right? How many are glad this morning that you can say with confidence that you have shut some doors in your life? Amen? How many of you have had to slam some doors shut in your life? Okay? But when we reopen closed doors, we give him, the enemy that is, we give him permission to do what he does best, okay? And that is come in and make a mess of our lives. Are you with me? Okay. From the time that Satan was cast out of heaven, his modus operandi, okay, has been to steal, to kill, and destroy absolutely anything, say anything, that belongs to God. Hello, that belongs to God. It is. He wants to steal that from you. The good news is the day that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, when you got saved, God delivered us, you and I, from the power of darkness, and he conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. And this may come as a shock to you. And it's still, to me, it just seems so unbelievable. But there are many people who don't believe that the devil exists. I even know ex-pastors that have come to the place where they don't believe that the devil exists. People are preaching all the time, there is no hell. Well, I want you to know something this morning. There is a devil, amen, and there is a hell, all right? And you really can see his evil influence in our culture today in which we live, okay? In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter wrote this. He wrote that the devil is prowling and roaming around and literally searching for a way to attack and devour anyone who is vulnerable and ignorant of his schemes. That's why I'm preaching this, okay? So you guys won't be ignorant of what the devil does. So you guys can recognize how he comes to attack. The devil is not a fantasy, okay? It's not just something somebody came up with because it fit good with preaching, okay? But he's not a fantasy, and he'll do everything he can to gain access into our lives. If it's simply for no other reason, then we are made in God's image. He wants to attack us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. Okay, please turn to John 10:10 with me. And I think we're going to read this verse together, okay? I know it's going to sound like, but just pay attention to what you're saying, okay? Tell me when you're there. See, I got six. Okay, if you're not there, look up here, okay? Verse 10 says this. Can you say it with me? No, I'm going to have you say it after me. That makes a little more sense. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is talking about Jesus now. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. I know that God wins. Amen. I know that he wins. I know that eventually I will have life more abundantly. And really, this verse, John 10:10, it's this perfect job description for the enemy. In this verse, the word thief is translated from the Greek word kleptos, okay? Which we, or when described, it's a bandit or a thief or a scam artist. It's where we get the English word kleptomaniac. The definition of kleptomaniac is someone who just can't keep themselves from stealing. They just, I don't want to say they can't help it because we don't need to have any kind of sympathy for the devil. But they just can't keep themselves from stealing. Why? Because it's in their very nature to steal. So by using that word kleptos, Jesus was in essence saying, don't be so surprised when the devil steals from you. Don't be so surprised, because he can't help himself. He's flawed. He's defective. And from the very beginning of time, he's been a thief, because something within him is bound and determined to steal what belongs to somebody else. When we take a look at history, okay, we discover that the devil has always been a thief, all right? He wanted to steal the throne of God, okay, right from the beginning. He wanted God's position, so he tried to steal it. And he wanted the adoration of the angels, and so he tried to steal that adoration away from God. I mean, he's a thief. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. He is a thief. Say it. He is a thief. And he steals because it's in his very nature to steal. You've heard already from the Bible that when he speaks, he lies, because this is native language. Does it surprise you any that he steals? But that's not all. And please understand, I'm going to be kind of on the downside at the beginning of this, but at the end I'm going to lift it back up, all right? He is so experienced at stealing that his thievery is nearly undetectable. See, John 10:10 also says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. The word steal in the Greek, again, is klepto, which is a little different. The other word was kleptes. Okay. The word klepto depicts someone that is so artful in the way that they steal that their acts of thievery, if you will, are nearly undetectable. I mean, he can steal and you don't even know that he's stolen from you. You know what the word basically means? Pickpocket. Pickpocket. The devil's a pickpocket. He comes and he takes, and you hardly notice, or you many times don't even notice, that he's taken something. So the meaning behind John 10:10 so far can be expressed this way. The kleptomaniac, okay, I don't think you've probably ever heard him called the kleptomaniac, but the kleptomaniac, when he shows up, will begin to behave like a kleptomaniac. He will be nearly undetectable. He can't restrain himself, and he'll steal, and steal some more simply because it's in his nature to steal. I mean, hear me this morning, please. If you have good health, and I know this way, way, way too much right now. If you have good health, he wants to steal your health, all right? If you have a great job and you're making all the money that you need. You know, he wants to take your job away from you. If you're walking in joy, especially if you're walking in joy, he definitely wants to steal your peace. Amen? But most of all, the enemy wants to steal your faith in God. That is his end game. He wants to steal your faith in God. What is such a mystery about the enemy stealing is the enemy doesn't steal because he needs any of it. He doesn't need anything that you have. And he probably really in many ways doesn't even want anything that you have. He steals simply because he's a kleptomaniac who can't keep himself from stealing what belongs to somebody else. And he's bound and determined that he's going to steal whatever it is that you have. Jesus continued to say in John 10:10 that not only does a thief come to steal, but he also comes to kill. Okay? The word kill is translated from the Greek word thuo. And what is so strange here is that it doesn't actually mean to kill as in to murder. Okay? It doesn't mean that. The word thuo is a religious term, and it means to sacrifice or surrender, or to give up something that is precious and dear. So in context of John 10:10, Jesus is telling you and I that there's going to be times, okay, there will be times when the devil disguises himself to sound very pious and very religious. He may even try to deceive you by whispering in your ear something like, you know, there is no way that you can ever really, really come back from what you just did. God can't forgive something like that. That's not what he was talking about when he said he issued forgiveness, not for what you did. Or he says something like, there's no way. There's no way that things can be the same. You have set your life in motion. It's going to stay this way always. You know what? If the church, if the people of the church ever found out, they would never let you back in. It would be over. You know, that's one thing that I've really liked that I can say to people who come here and that have left and want to come back, but it's been quite a while. And that is, this church is different. This church isn't going to be like, where have you been? Where have you been doing? They're going to just welcome you back. And I believe that about you guys. You just welcome people back. You don't have to find out what they did. And I love that about you. But not everywhere is like that, but the enemy likes to lie that way. And he does these things to attempt to convince you that what you've gained from serving God is somehow now useless because you have disqualified yourself. You know what? I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. That word can't even be in our vocabulary. Amen? We do not disqualify ourselves from the Lord. And that doesn't give you a license to sin. That just shows you how much God's love is for you. The enemy may even disguise his voice to sound like the actual voice of God. Have you ever had that happen? Listen, I know the voice of God. He can sound an awful lot like him. He really can. And he says things like this, okay? He says, you know what? God doesn't love you. He never did. He never did. He was just tolerating you this whole time. Just give it up. Just let it go, sacrifice it. Just walk away and stop believing all the promises that are just lies anyway. The end game of the enemy, and I've already mentioned this, the end game of the enemy is to get you to give up on your fight of faith and to walk away from God. That's what he wants to see. The God that you've vowed with all of your heart to serve for the rest of your life. He wants you to be inactive, unproductive, and he wants you to be convinced that you are not forgiven, that you cannot move on. That you know, everybody makes mistakes, amen? And everybody, unfortunately, at one time or another, crosses that line and we sin. Okay, I really hope I'm not the only one, right? Okay, but we cross that line. But I want you to know, we're still forgiven, amen? What Jesus did on the cross for you and I can't be negated by some silly thing the devil does, amen? Amen. But according to John 10:10, not only does the devil want to steal from you, he does, and convince you to give up on your faith and your walk and to get you to walk away from God's promises, the enemy also wants to destroy you. That's what John 10:10 says. And the next word in that verse is destroy, okay? Which is a form of the Greek word, here I go, apollumi. Close enough. Which means to devastate, to ruin, to trash, or to waste, okay? That's what he wants to do. So really, John 10:10 could be translated this way as well. The thief wants to get his hands into every good thing that's in your life. In fact, this pickpocket, this is looking for an opportunity to wiggle his way so deeply into your personal affairs that he can walk off with everything you hold precious and dear. And he can convince you to give it up. That's what he tries to do with the meaning of that word. He tries to convince you to just sacrifice it. Just get rid of it. How many of you are feeling really good now? Because that's not all, okay? When he's finished stealing all of your goods and all of your possessions that he can, he'll take his plan to rob you blind to the next level by creating conditions and situations in your life so horrible, come on, all of us have gone through this, that you'll see no way to solve the problem that is in front of you, and as a result, you freely give up the rest of the things that you have. Do you get what I'm saying here? I mean, you become so discouraged, so beaten down. The goal of the thief is to totally devastate your life. That's what he wants to do. And if nothing stops him, I'm glad there is something that stops him, but if nothing stops him, he'll leave you in debt, flat broke, and completely cleaned out in every area of your life. And so John 10:10 really does provide us with a vivid job description and an accurate description of the nature and behavior of our enemy, the devil. And it lets us know that the devil is, he is. That one verse shows us that he is out to destroy every human being, saved or unsaved. But how many of you love when the word but is in the scriptures? But Jesus went on to say in John 10:10, I have come, glory to God, I have come. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I have come that they may have life, and not just life, that they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the word life that's used in this verse is a form of a Greek word that's said is zoe. You've heard it before, zoe life. And it depicts a life that is so absolutely filled with gusto, okay, and zest and vitality and more than we can even imagine. Just a life that is just outside of our imagination is what he has for us. Also, the Greek word for abundantly is phrasis, okay, which means, again, abundantly and exceedingly. So, what's that saying? That God longs to give us life and life more abundantly, far beyond the scope of our thoughts and our understanding. That is good news. Amen? That is good news. But the devil comes to steal the very things that God gave and made available to you and I. His promises, his provision. Amen? He comes to steal that away from us. But as soon as we become a child of God, we become equipped. And you've got to know this, because if you don't know this, you don't take advantage of it. Amen? Come on. Amen? When we become a child of God, we become equipped with the Word of God and the promises of God. So we can block the thief and the destroyer from being able to steal from us. You know, but it's having that in the forefront of your mind. How often does the devil devastate you until you understand that if you would just speak the word at him, claim the promises towards him, come on, that you can become victorious over him? And if you don't know that, you're going to go on and allow that enemy to come in and do what he does best, devastate. Not only that. Okay, not only that, but Colossians 1:13 also tells us that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. This is really our exit from darkness, okay? It's our exit. the word, and I'm going to give you some definitions of some really little bitty words from the Greek, okay? But they are so important to understanding what is really being said here. The word has, okay? You know, God has delivered us. The word has used in Colossians 1:13 is in the past tense, and I love this part of it, which means the moment we made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we were delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In other words, it's already done. You don't have to work for it. There's nothing that you can do to get there. He already did it for you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's already done. At the very moment that we accepted God's plan for our lives, a divine transaction occurred. And that transaction was this. I love this. We were delivered. Amen. We were delivered. Don't ever say you've never experienced deliverance, okay? Because you were delivered the moment that you got saved. Amen. The word delivered is translated from a word that means to rescue or to snatch, okay? Or to drag out of danger just in the nick of time. Being delivered is like a rescue operation that is intended to snatch a person out of a physical or spiritual peril. I love that. I love that. That Jesus and that his blood and his promises, they snatched me out of a physical peril. Well, all right, snatched me out of spiritual peril. Well, right now, I know he's going to snatch me out of physical peril, okay? I know that. How do I know that? Because I've read this word, okay? I'm going to stand on what the word says, and I'm not going to say I'm going to be healed. I'm going to call myself the healed of the Lord. And you could say, well, that's just semantics, but you know what? That builds my faith. Amen? Amen? And that will build your faith as well. Anyway, sorry, I get a little excited. The day we made Jesus the Lord of our life, that divine rescue, that divine operation, if you will, it just happened, and it's over. It's done. God himself, and I mean, this should excite you this morning, probably excite you to praise his name, okay? God himself rescued us and snatched us from the peril and the power of spiritual darkness. No, that's huge. That's huge. And Colossians 1:13 goes on to say that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. The word from this verse, I'll have you say this Greek word, okay, is the Greek word ek. Ek. Oh, everybody, say ek. Kind of sounds like yuck without the Y, okay? Which means, are you ready? Out. It means out. And it's where we get the English word exit. The word power in this verse is the Greek word exousia, which I would imagine you've probably heard before, and it describes authority and influence, okay? That's what exousia does. So why is it important that I give you all these definitions of all these seemingly insignificant words? To tell you this, again, once we make Jesus the Lord of our life, see, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. Are you with me? It's the most important, the most magnanimous decision that you'll ever make. Okay? But once we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, darkness no longer, darkness no longer has any authority in our lives. Period. 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 We have made an exit from that life, and we now have the power through Jesus Christ to renounce any authority or any influence that the devil may try to exert over us. Hallelujah! I mean, scream hallelujah. Something like that, yeah. No, you can clap. That's okay, not more than three or four. Hallelujah! Yeah, yeah. And that's good news, too. Let me give you just a bit more, and then I'll close. The Greek word for darkness, okay, is skotos, which describes not just darkness, but bleak darkness, or the darkest moment of the night. It depicts blackness and gloom and a never-ending state of obscurity. See, this is a location where you and I used to live. That used to be our address, okay, in darkness, in bleak darkness, and in, a, in the darkest moment of the night. That used to be where we lived before we accepted Jesus. You understand that? But I love this part. But at the very moment, say that. But at the very moment, at the second we surrendered to Jesus, our exit from the bleak darkness occurred as God rescued us. We changed location. Once we were, but now we are. Glory to God. We may not be what we should be, but we sure aren't what we were. Amen? And we may not be where we should live completely, but we sure don't live where we used to live. I hope you understand that this morning. The text here says that God literally snatched us from the place of dense darkness and gloom and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory be. I can't help but just rejoice over that today. Amen. And then for some reason, you know, the songs that we sang today and have sung for probably the last 6 months, I can't sing them. I tear up. And I'm just so thankful for what he's done in my life and for what he's going to do in my life. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The word conveyed is the Greek word methistemi, okay? It's a compound of two words. One word is meta, which denotes a change, like a turn or a transfer. And the word estemi, which means to appoint and to establish or to stand. As a compound Greek word, it means to remove or transfer and to stand firmly and secure. That's really the definition of the compound word. In other words, once we have been removed out of the kingdom of darkness, once we have been removed out of the kingdom of darkness, we have been given a firm and secure standing in the kingdom of God. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't even stay good for it. Do you hear me? You are already established firmly and securely in the kingdom of God. Now I'll tell you what the word kingdom means. It's a form of a Greek word which describes a kingdom or a realm of authority, okay, and domination and influence and rule. So what does all this mean? Here's the saying I dislike today. The day we were saved, the day we made that decision, Jesus snatched us from the grip of the enemy and placed us under his rule and his authority instead of the enemy's rule and his authority. Glory be to God. That, you know, no matter how much the devil would tempt us or get us to do something we know we shouldn't, we are not under his authority. We don't have to do it, okay? And that's where the trouble comes in so many of our lives, in that pause moment when we're deciding whether we're going to take the wrong step or the right step. We too many times take the wrong step. But the truth of it is, we're placed under God's authority. The devil's nothing anymore. He can say whatever he wants. We don't have to do anything that he says. When we were living in the realm of darkness, which you were before you had Jesus, we had to do the things that he said. We were under his authority. We aren't under his authority anymore. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, and then here we go again. And when we declared Jesus as Lord of our lives, we made an exit from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of obscurity, and we were given this firm, secure standing in the kingdom of Jesus where he rules. And he reigns. It's like we took all of our stuff and threw it in a U-Haul. And we went to this other place called the Kingdom of Heaven. And you know, there's no more gas to get back to the Kingdom of Darkness. And we're just established where we've gone. Now, that's a silly example, but think about it. Think about where you are. You know, I could say something like, where you are, there's no way that you can get back to where you were, but there is a way, and that's if you make the decision and willfully decide that you're going to walk back to that place, okay? But the only one that can take you from here to there is you. The devil can't do it, okay? Only you can do it. And you know, it was you that made the decision to serve Jesus, and it can be you that makes a decision not to serve Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 I know some of you don't believe that way, but I got the pulpit today, okay? 1 John 3:14 says this, "We know that we have passed from death to life." Isn't that glorious? We know that we have passed from death to life. The Greek meaning for the word passed is to walk out a change, and it pictures a full transition from one place to another place. We have passed. We have completely changed where we were. We've made a full transition from the place of death to the place of life. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. This is our new address, and this is our new status. 1 John 5:18 says this, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." When we've been placed in Christ and we live according to the Word of God, please, 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 if you're a person that says, "Well, I don't really read," be a person that really reads, okay? Be a person that, if you can't read for some reason, if you just can't do it, get it on cassette. All right, I probably should say stream it. But I was going to say, get a cassette. Okay. But when we've been placed in Christ and we live according to God's word, okay, we position ourselves out of the reach of the enemy. Well, how can we get attacked by the enemy? Number one, we believe his lies. But number two is this, we're not living according to the word of God. So it's not God's fault, is it? And it's when we make those choices, those wrong choices that are contrary to God's word, that the doors will be opened to provide the devil access to our lives. I have had to literally slam some doors shut because they don't want to stay shut. If you ever, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, some doors, man, yeah. Serena always says, not always, but she says, "What are you mad at? What's the matter?" I said, "Nothing, why?" "Well, you slammed the door." Well, I really didn't. Okay, I did, but I'm not going to tell her. There are doors in our lives that want to stay open so bad, our flesh wants to keep open so bad, that we can't just shut those doors. We have to slam them and lock them and board them up and never go back there. Never go back there. This means that the devil will not be able to touch us if we obey the word of God, if we keep ourselves in his will, okay, and if we stay rooted in Christ. That's not as hard as you think. That's not as difficult as you think. It's just, sometimes we make being a Christian so much harder than it really is. It really, really, these three things really encapsulate all of it. We obey the word, amen? We keep ourselves in his will. We keep ourselves in the love of God. And we stay rooted in Christ. And when we become a child of God, according to what we've read and what we've taken apart here in these few verses, a spiritual barricade is erected around us. I should say maybe because the religious way to say it is a hedge of protection, okay? A hedge of protection, if you will be erected, stopping the thief, the one who steals, kills, and destroys, from finding access into your life. And what we're going to talk about over the next number of weeks is going to be, what is it that opens those doors? And one Sunday might not be for you. Hopefully none of them will be for you. But I have a feeling that you might find some things in this next 9-part series. 10 altogether. I didn't count the days. I didn't want to sound like it was a lot, so I said 9. But I think in this series, you're going to find yourself in one, at least one of these places. And hopefully, if you do find yourself in one of those places, you will learn, okay, you'll learn how to not end up in that place again. We have to, as Christians, we have to learn how to stay home, okay? You know, we have to learn how to stay at our new address, okay? Amen. And I don't know about you. I may have started this whole sermon with bad news, but what I've been seeing here, the rest of it, that's good news. Amen. That's great news. I mean, I love the fact, I think, that the only one that can take me out of God's hands is me. I think I like that fact. But that means you can't take me out of God's hands. You know, it doesn't matter who. If someone hates you, they can't do it to you. You make the decision. But as it is right now, as you become a child of God, there's a barrier erected around you, which only comes down when you open doors. Okay? Really, that's the message of Psalm 91 as well. When we open the doors is when we get in trouble. When we don't stand on the word is when we get in trouble. When we listen to man, we get in trouble. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes just a minute?